Hello and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me is Captain of the Future Imperfect.
That's right, I'm deciding to take back my ship as we've been away in the Beta Quadrant for a little while. That's right, it is I, Mike the Birdman, taking a little bit of a return from my medical hiatus, hoping to be back more full-time probably come June/July. But Steve asked me to do a Future Imperfect, and we got some exciting changes coming up for the show, don't we, Steve?
Yes, we do. First of all, we're going to be covering a little bit of the Star Trek Discovery, and then a little bit of Star Trek Online, which I know you have not played in the last year, but being I just jumped back into it about a week and a half ago, it's kind of enveloped my life over the last week. And then a little bit of Mass Effect, and you said some Stargate, I believe.
Yeah, like, what we're going to be doing with Future Imperfect moving forward, obviously Star Trek will always be a primary focus, but kind of expanding things out to include more general sci-fi topics and science in general. As me and Steve, this is more kind of our area of expertise as opposed to doing stuff with, say, TFG on Mike, who's more pop culture focused. When we do things on Altered Geek, doing things on Future Imperfect allows us to focus on more science and just more sci-fi in general, because that seemed to be where, like, me and Steve have the meeting of the mind, so to speak.
So if you
want to hear about stuff from, like, say, Battlestar Galactica or Mass Effect, or just, you know, what's happening in the world of space exploration, then you've definitely come to the right place. And even just talking about science in general, if something really cool happens, I'm sure we'll be able to cover it here on Future Imperfect. So I guess without any further ado, let's kind of jump into Star Trek Discovery, because that was supposed to premiere next month. Yeah, that's not happening.
Well, it was supposed to have the pilot in January, if you remember.
Yep.
And they were supposed to have it on CBS, and then having the app launch with the show and having it exclusively show up in May, which is not happening.
My guess is now what they've said from the production team is they don't have a date ready yet for the show, which I wouldn't call that indicative of trouble just yet. My guess is they're saving it for Comic-Con or New York City Comic-Con, and you'll see the full episode, my guess is, in the next 6 months. My guess is it won't premiere this year, or if it does, it'll premiere during the fall, which I wouldn't say is a completely missed opportunity, because they are producing 13 episodes. I'd rather them take the time to do them right, because I think they wrapped principal photography a couple of weeks ago, which they were filming in Toronto, so not too far away from where I now live. And it was being produced under the codename Green Harvest. Now, I've got a lot of friends in the Toronto film industry, and I haven't heard anything negative coming out of it yet. I would have by now.
But I haven't heard anything positive either.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything good either, and that's almost more worrying than hearing anything
now,
bad. At least
most of the news has been on the castings, so of course there's that. Then there's the fact that we have, in addition to the castings, we have the timeline, which takes place 10 years before the original series, which I think is a mega fail.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we've kind of already seen. I mean, we've seen Star Trek Enterprise, we've seen the original series.
Now, while I'll give them what Enterprise did, granted, I have to go back and watch it, and I will say that some of the temporal stuff that happens in Enterprise is tied into the Star Trek Online game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of continuity that I'm like, oh, I remember this from this episode, and I remember this from this episode. Because there's a lot of Enterprise, the original series, Next Generation, DS9, Voyager, and beyond, and the Kelvin universe even, that shows up in the game. And so, to me, while I get kind of what they're doing here. They're having, one, they're having a female captain.
Which I think is good, even though she's technically a captain, she's a lieutenant commander, but that doesn't reduce the fact that she's commanding her own ship.
But what I find to be a little bit of a failure is, at this particular time period, that wouldn't have happened.
I don't think that's entirely true.
It's not entirely true, but thinking back on the original series continuity...
You didn't see a lot of females in command position.
You didn't see any females in command position in the original series.
That was also just on television. If you look at the expanded universe novels, whether they count as canon or not, there may have been more people there. And I'm pretty sure there were some women in command at Starfleet command at that time. Mind you, because what we see is representative on TV, times are changing at that time. Socially in the real world, so it wouldn't surprise me.
I'm not trying to sound sexist with it.
I completely get what
I'm going at it strictly from like a continuity from what we've seen. Like, if you're just taking the shows from a strict continuity purpose, one, it's got that shiny look the Abrams universe had.
Yeah, and that's something I'm not a huge fan of, because that's part of the problem setting this 10 years before the original series. The look just doesn't work.
Well, I've seen the ship. The ship looks like it looks too fake. It looks too shiny. It looks like something I would see in the video game of Star Trek Online.
It doesn't fit with the aesthetic of the time period.
No, it doesn't. And they show the command chair trying to like tease something with nothing. And honestly, I would have preferred that they did something between Star Trek 7 and TNG.
Yeah, because that would have been more like interesting. I mean,
well, there's 70 years of nothing.
Well, yeah, because then you have the possibility of updating the technology to the more TNG look and filling in, like you said, that 70-year gap, whereas it's 10 years before the original series. Ooh, who cares?
Well, and the rumor has it is that they're going to bump into some of the original series characters.
Well, I know they're going to bump into Harry Mudd, is that his name, Harry Mudd?
Yeah, it's a version of him, of hardcore Harry Mudd. They're going to have Rayan Wilson play him, but his own version, which doesn't quite jive with, if it's in the same continuity as the main universe, with the future iteration that shows up in TOS.
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, like, there's, I think the problem is they want to play it safe, they want to make happy, in my mind, the old Star Trek nerds, like, the old guard, and not necessarily willing to risk it on the new people who are only experienced in the Abramsverse, and maybe have seen some episodes of Voyager or Enterprise in passing. And I can see why maybe they're not setting it post Nemesis, because it's hard to top Picard and company. Here, the only people you really have to compete against is Kirk, and that cast is somewhat, and it's going to sound blasphemous for me to say this, has largely been forgotten, because a lot of them are, unfortunately, have all passed away.
Well, there's only 3 out of the 7 that are gone.
Yeah, like...
there's Scotty, there's McCoy, and there's Spock. Kirk is still floating around, Chekhov, Sulu, and Uhura.
Yeah, and I don't see them getting ready to do cameos anytime soon. I mean, I'm sure, you know, you invite Brent Spiner to the craft services table, he'd show up. No offense, Mr. Spiner, just... you love your character. But even Michael Dorn says he won't come out and do this because they offered him less than 1% of what he made when he was doing Worf, which means literally, I'm pretty sure they offered him a Uber cab fare, craft services, and a t-shirt at this point, which is so disrespectful.
Well, what I love
in the franchise.
And that's what I love about the Star Trek Online universe, is because you get everything post Nemesis and post So you get, like, all this continuity filled in from all these casts that we loved, plus a ton of new characters that you've never heard of. So, like, it's kind of world-building itself.
And as far as I know, it's officially canon.
It is.
I mean, at least until they want to retcon it if they want to do a movie, but for right now, it's official.
Well, the thing is they actually jump about 30 years after Nemesis, or after the Dominion War.
And, like, the Borg are back, the Romulans are still trying to rebuild their ship.
Well, there's actually two factions of Romulans in the game. And the Tal Shiar.
Which I think is cool, just the fact that they're trying to rebuild that world and to keep the TNG world alive, like I said, post-Nemesis, by adding logical events that would have happened following the collapse of the Romulan Star Empire. And stuff like that.
And do you remember Enterprise where they had Agent Daniels?
Vaguely.
Well, he was in like one episode of all four seasons. Maybe two in a couple seasons. But he shows up a lot in Star Trek Online. Because he's kind of your guide whenever there's a temporal disturbance and you're having to go fix it. Including when you have to go to the Terran or the Kelvin universe.
See, and I think that's cool because they do give you the option in Star Trek Online to start off there.
Well, they actually don't give you the option to start off in the Kelvin universe.
Well, I thought they did. You had an option to play a character from the 23rd century, and then you get jumped forward.
Well, what it is your character starts off in the 30 years. It's like 2380. And there's a big battle, and your character dies. Your ship and your character, like, they all die. And Daniels warps you ahead to the year 2410 to assist with modern day to fix various things in the timeline and assist in areas that the other characters may not be so capable.
See, that's really cool. I mean, it's been a long time since I've played Star Trek Online, which is, I guess we could jump into that, because there isn't a whole lot to talk about Discovery, simply because there isn't a lot been revealed about it so far. Although, I do have a question about it, and I don't know whether it's ignorant to say or not, so I'm just going to fire from the hip and go from it. Now, the character who's been cast as the Lieutenant Commander was originally from The Walking Dead. She played Sasha.
Yeah.
And she's playing a character named Michael... What's the last name again?
I'm not sure. But yeah.
Now, I don't know. Is she playing a woman? Is she playing a transgendered character? Because I've heard there's... like, I've never run across a woman named Michael, but I hear it's a common thing. I've just never come across it in my personal experience.
I've never come across it, but as far as I know, there's supposed to be a gay character in the show.
Yeah,
of some kind.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that they're going to have an LGBTQ character in the show, whether it's gay or transgendered or whatever. It's cool, it's happening. I'm glad the future's inclusive, but I just kind of wish the wording on her character was a little bit more clear.
See, I think that people would be fine with it if it weren't for the fact that, like, because I feel like they're doing it to be politically correct. And
well,
to kind of shove
in
it. Like, I feel that in a sense that they're doing that to be politically correct. I mean, I understand that there are people that are that. And you know, if that's the way you go, then, you know, good for you. You know, I'm not dissing you or anything, but
I'm curious for the story possibilities it's going to bring up.
See, like me, I watch Star Trek not so much for the orientation. I watch it for the intelligence, and if that starts to detract from the intelligence of it, like how they did it in the Kelvin universe with Sulu, just a passing nod, I was perfectly fine with, because they weren't like shoving it in my face, but it was there.
I'm very curious to see whether it'll develop into a true romantic subplot, or whether it'll just be, oh, this character's getting party on. Or whether it'll be this character has a boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever, and is it going to be a concern? Like, let's say the character is transgendered. Is how is that going to be addressed? How are you going to write this character? And as long as it makes for compelling television, I'm all for it. Because obviously right now, more than any other point in the last couple of years, we seem to be at a rather interesting social change where a lot more people are coming out as gay, transgendered, or whatever. And it's not something I understand as, you know, a straight native male in his 30s. But I'd like to consider myself an ally to the cause, though I still have a lot of questions. But ultimately, as long as the character's well represented, as long as it makes for compelling television, and as you said, as long as it's not a political statement, that's cool.
If they're there, just, you know, if it, that's like the same.
Don't be a checklist.
Yeah, don't be a checklist. Be like essentially what the difference of when, you know, Troy dated an interspecies thing with Worf, or, you know, it was there, but it wasn't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't detract from the show.
Exactly. Don't be boring. Don't be a checklist. Be compelling. Be interesting. Be well represented, because if Star Trek has done anything well, it tackles social issues. It's tackled racism back in the 60s. It's challenged.
Well, it did it in the 60s. It did it with Data.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was just about to bring that up when it comes to how do you define a person.
Or Odo, or the holographic doctor. I mean, every series has one of those characters.
Yeah, and this series, because everyone's so hyper aware of it now, could really stand to make a really cool statement with it. So I hope the series represents that community well. Like I said, please don't be a checklist. Yeah. Please be compelling. Moving on to something a little less politically charged, though, yes, depending on who you ask.
So Star Trek Online.
So Star Trek Online. This is a game I haven't played in probably about a year or two, though now it's available on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, and it's available for free.
Yep, it's been for free. It's been out, I think,
6 years, I think.
Six or seven years. But it went free about 3 years ago, which is about when we started the show, and I think I tested it out around then, and I never got past Cadet because I got stuck. At the time, they were doing this thing with the Borg.
Yeah.
And there weren't seasons. There weren't missions. It was just you play this one round, and that's all you got. And now they've done the marketplace type of design to the game. So, like, if you get special boxes, like uncommon boxes or infinity boxes, which infinity boxes are things of special offers that are only available for like a said week of the past. So, for instance, the Kelvin Universe Vengeance ship or Enterprise, you have to open an infinity box or a Kelvin box, and you need a master key to unlock, and the master keys are like 125 of whatever these, you know,
space bucks.
Yeah, space bucks, basically. And you have to actually buy them to open the boxes. So just like if you want to change their uniforms to a certain degree, like you're allowed so many outfits that you can unlock throughout the game or that are given to you freely. And if you want to change it into a different, for instance, like if you want the original series movie uniforms, the red, to do whatever you want with, you have, there are like so many space bucks. And it's like that with a lot of the stuff. Like if you unlock one, you might unlock like a plethora of other things. So there's, you can customize like everything down to the character design, the uniform, the ship design. There's a lot of ways that you can recolor it. You can change out. So like if it's a Sovereign class starship, you can change it out and have like parts from the Nova ship. Like there's only certain ships that are in that category that you can mix and match it with. But so like the Constitution refit, there's like three different classes like the that you can mix it with. But there's a lot of customization, a lot of character building. You get to build your own away teams. you get to capture your own gear, you get to send people from your crew on away missions to build up your experience. You can keep all of your ships that you've gotten throughout the game, and when you become an admiral, you can send them on missions to gain you points.
See, I wish I'd stuck with the Star Trek experience, because when this game first came out, I was doing a lot of work for a bunch of radio stations, and Atari, who was the original publisher for this, I think it's Cryptic Studios, I think was the actual developer.
Cryptic wasn't the original. It was, I think Cryptic was part of it, but Arc Games actually owns part of it now. There was a different studio in charge at the time, and my cadet character is forever stuck in a time loop fighting the Borg. Because when the game first went free,
that's... You had to log in, didn't you?
Yeah, when you log in, that was the mission that I had. And I still cannot, to this day, get out of that level. So being it was only cadet, I started a new character. And now I'm level 56 Admiral.
Jesus Christ.
It doesn't take long to level up until you hit like the Admiral stage. Like you start off a Starfleet cadet, and you get your first bridge officer, because the thing is Starfleet apparently is running low on high-ranking individuals at the time, and so they're just letting even lieutenants take commands of starships. So you start off with like a Miranda class type of ship, and then when you get to Starfleet lieutenant, you get to unlock a new ship. And you unlock like transwarp, so you can go to like the Earth space station or the Beta Quadrant or you know something like that. So like level one, you get to Starfleet lieutenant. So I think what happened is as I got the Miranda class and then I got the original Enterprise. I went and got that, and then I became a lieutenant commander at level 10. I got the refit Enterprise. And then at level 20, you become a commander, and you get like this almost like Stargazer with a galaxy class saucer of sorts. And then level 30, you become a captain. And there's a particular mission where you end up with the Enterprise C, because you actually end up in an alternate timeline, and it gives you the Enterprise C as like a bonus.
That's pretty cool, actually.
And then, so, like, when I hit Captain, I got the Enterprise D. And then when I hit Rear Admiral at lower half, Rear Admiral lower half at level 40, I got the Sovereign Enterprise E. And then every five levels after that, they start leveling you up, so you become a Rear Admiral upper half, and then Vice Admiral, and then Starfleet Admiral, and then I'll be Starfleet Fleet Admiral after I hit level 60. So yeah, and I've got probably, let me see how many episodes there's, you start off with the Klingon War, the Wasteland, which is like, kind of the galactic wasteland stuff. You get the Romulans, and technology through the Delta Quadrant. Sela shows up, Sela, and then you get the Cardassians, you get the Breen, the Borg, New Romulus, the Solanae Dyson Sphere, a lot of going into the past, Delta Quadrant stuff, which is like heavy with Voyager crew. So like you get the EMH, you get Seven of Nine, you get Tuvok, you get Harry Kim, and I could have swore there was like one other character. Oh, Neelix. That all show up. And then there's the Iconian War, which is what I'm doing now. And there's two more levels. There's Future Proof and New Frontiers after that. Which Future Proof is setting up the stuff from that Enterprise episode with Daniels, and where Archer goes to the 29th century and sees that Battle of Procreon 5. Daniels basically tells him, you know, that you have to, you know, that they're in this particular, the 25th century, they start setting up the, with all the different factions, you know, the Romulans, the Klingons, the Federation, the guidelines for the temporal laws. So then, and then on April 25th, they're opening up another entire new episode. So, and there could be as little as like 3 missions under your thing, or like 12, or some of them seem like they're annoying. So like if they are, I skip them.
See, I may have to get back into this now that it's on console.
And you can actually partner with people.
See, that's cool, because then I could just hang around with you and you can like power level me. Basically.
Yep, power level you and then give you some awesome gear.
Now, when I originally got this game, I had a lifetime subscription. I hope it still gives me all my cool shit.
If you had that, I believe they give you... I believe there's some perks that they give you in certain boxes.
Ooh.
Based on your sponsorship, as it were.
Yeah, I hope so, because I had, like, I could play as a former Borg, I had, like, the Wrath of Khan outfit, I had all this really cool crap. I haven't logged into my account since, like, 2013, so it's been a while.
Should still work. Because my account I haven't used in 3 years, and I logged right back in.
Although a friend of mine, and I feel so tragically bad for him, he bought a lifetime subscription when the game first came out. He didn't have a computer powerful enough to run it until literally this year. His account is lost because the company that originally gave it to him, the company that originally published it, doesn't exist anymore, or at least this game has changed hands a few times.
It's only changed hands once.
He can't get in.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I'm sure he could get a hold of the people.
Oh, he's tried.
Huh.
He's tried, and it makes me so sad, because when the game first came out, I remember, you could buy lifetime subscriptions for a one-time-only price of $300. So, ouch.
Yeah, it came out in 2010.
Yeah, because I remember this came out when I was just finishing post-grad. Because I remember playing this game when I got snowed in for like a week. But yeah, I remember having fun with this game. Just me and MMOs just never seemed to get along. When this game first came out, it was so boring.
Oh, I agree.
There was nothing to do. And the fleet actions were just a new thing when I stopped. And I remember fighting a Borg Armada and getting my ass utterly handed to me. So I kind of said nuts to this and left. But now hearing your experiences with it, I may have to give it yet another run. Just because I've still got some time off from my Twig and everything. So I have nothing but time on my hands right now.
Yeah, so like they have... what does it say? There are 3 factions, Federation, Klingon, Romulan. This is, and players can create characters from any of these factions at level 1. It says, and you can have bridge officers from a separate race. So you can have like a Borg bridge officer, and you can have a Klingon, and you can have... It's kind of awesome. And then some of the voices are Zachary Quinto, Leonard Nimoy, Chase Masterson, Majel Barrett, Denise Crosby, Michael Dorn. Like I said, the Voyager cast. Then there's... they got Tom Paris. He's about to show up somewhere in the next couple of missions. And then you've got Walter Koenig as Chekhov showing up. He'll be at some point in this thing. Chris Doohan filling in for James Doohan as Scotty. Matt Winston, the guy that plays Daniels, he reprises. Vic Mignogna, can't say his name, but
he's Vic from Mignogna.
Yeah, he's from Star Trek Continues, but he plays Admiral Isaac Garrett, a member of the Starfleet Command in the 23rd century of the Kelvin universe.
See, I think that's really cool, because considering how much work Vic does with voice acting, I'm surprised. I'm really glad his Star Trek enthusiasm and fandom landed him a role in this, so his character is still canon. So.
I recognized his character, or the voice, and then Science Officer 0718 from Star Trek Into Darkness, the robotic android guy that was tied into the ship.
Yeah.
He's in this, too.
See, that's really cool. I'm really glad that Star Trek Online has incorporated so many elements from so many different areas of Star Trek to keep it going. So
yeah, there's so much continuity in this that it and jumping around of different stuff that it's sick. And the amount of starships and the upgrades for like any of the ships is monumental now. They have everything from like the show plus new versions and like refits of those that have never been seen on TV, as well as ships that have never been seen.
Mm-hmm.
So like there's literally like unlimited possibilities for everything.
I'm gonna have to get into it, and that's kind of exciting, the fact that an old game can shake off a really rough start to become something kind of neat. And with most MMOs free to play these days, you've got no lack of choice. I mean, you still got World of Warcraft, Star Wars, The Old Republic, and you don't have to sink money into these games if you don't want to, with the exception of Warcraft. You're only free until level 20, then you have to start paying the monthly sub fee.
Yeah, this is completely free, unless you want to upgrade to certain ships or unlock certain uniforms. If you're a part of a squad, you can unlock certain features. Somebody asked me to join like right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like a lieutenant commander, and I was like, okay. And then I just accepted it. So like now I've gotten like all these perks just because of that. Like I can have an extra ship. I can have, you know, an extra like costume change for the characters. You know, it unlocks other stuff. So like there's benefits to everything.
So you're playing this on PC, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how the console experience carries over, because I remember this game being quite heavy in all the keyboard commands that you had to enter. So
there's not really that many. I mostly use my mouse just to click the stuff, and then I use the WASD to move and the shift button to run and the spacebar to jump. I mean, I'm sure I could use a controller if I wanted to, but yeah, it's actually not that bad. I mean, I've gotten used to it. I mean, I have a gaming mouse now too, so that I guess kind of helps. But
so I would love to hear from people that are actually still actively playing this. So if you are still playing this, we'd love to hear from you. Now, one of our email addresses is currently being funky right now, but if you want to get a hold of us, you can email Mike@thisweekingeek.net, and we will read your email on the next show, or we'll just reply to you on Twitter, or we'll just write you back and say, hey, what's going on? So, Steve, remind me to talk to you about the other email issue after the show.
Not a problem.
But another thing that I want to talk about is, because I'm, like I said, I've got nothing but time on my hands right now. I've seen the entirety of TNG. I'm starting a watch through of DS9, and I've always wanted other shows to fill that sci-fi gap. And I recently discovered Stargate SG-1, which I realize has been around for 20 years, but it's the longest running sci-fi show right now, or it was one of the longest running. I think Supernatural, technically, and Smallville outrun it now.
Well, Supernatural is at 12, year 12. It's been renewed for another season or two.
Oh my god. How many times can you kill Satan?
He keeps coming back. I'm not even joking, dude.
That's ridiculous.
I'm about done with the show.
So I'm just discovering older sci-fi that was running at the time when we had Voyager was on the air, DS9 was starting to wind down, and before Enterprise would appear and end its run back in 2005, I want to say, or 2004. So I'm having a lot of fun going through Stargate, and I kind of realize it's like TNG, but without the ship. It's nothing but away missions, but with guns. And I really enjoy Richard Dean Anderson. I love MacGyver as Colonel Jack O'Neill. And I don't know, there's just something about that show I'm having so much fun with that I didn't necessarily have with Star Trek, because it's not as philosophical as Star Trek could be. I'm sure there's our episode. I'm just in the second season now. I'm sure that'll change at some point. It's not as gloomy as Battlestar Galactica or as political just yet. And I haven't started into anything like Atlantis or Universe. I haven't seen the movies like The Arc of Truth or whatnot. So, I don't know. Steve, have you seen SG-1?
No, I mean, I've tried getting into Stargate. It just never really grabbed me.
My recommendation to you is give it another shot. Watch the movie and watch, like, the first 10 episodes.
I watched the movie about a year ago, and I found it to be horrible.
Although, oh my god, I think it's one of Roland... You know what? It's one of the movies that everybody forgets the guy who did Independence Day and 2012 did. I think it was one of his first movies, if not his first movie, Roland Emmerich. And I kind of forgot how much cool lore the Stargate universe introduces. And when I think about it, when I compare it to Star Trek, I wonder if it may be as deep, because my friend Alex, who's walking me through the series right now, says with 10 seasons of multiple series, it's just as deep as Star Trek, it's just different. And I kind of find that to be an interesting companion, because I can't think of many other long-running sci-fi series that had a big ensemble cast like Star Trek. Because we've got, in Stargate, we've got Jack O'Neill, Samantha Carter, Daniel Jackson, and Teal'c, who's the cool Jaffa guy. And then there's all the side characters as well. With Star Trek, of course, we can name the entire bridge crew and even a few other smaller side characters like Lieutenant Barclay and whatnot.
Funny you should say about some of those characters, like Chief O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's actually the chief engineer of Enterprise F.
That's cool.
In the game. Because the Enterprise E, I guess, is destroyed at some point during some mission, and it was Captain Data as the captain. And
Yeah, that's right, because B4 became actually Data at some point.
It surfaced or whatever, and so he was the captain of the Enterprise E, and the ship was destroyed, but he saved all the crew, so they built the Enterprise F out of the Odyssey class starship, which actually has this like cool vent just below the saucer and just above the hull of the ship, so that it's got like extended airflow that goes through it, like space, so that it actually gets faster warp speeds. When you get it to a higher, when you become an admiral, I think you get to unlock slipstream, which means you can travel across the galaxy that much faster. So, actually pretty wicked. But yeah, that just drove me to that point. But another show I know that was sci-fi that I kind of caught a little bit of when it was new was Star Trek, or not Star Trek, Andromeda.
Andromeda's another show, once again, my friend Alex has got me to, he's going to get me to check that out in Farscape in the next little bit. And I know Andromeda was Gene Roddenberry's Andromeda.
Yep.
With Hercules.
Yep, Kevin Sorbo and as a producer.
So that's another show I want to check out. I also know Gene Roddenberry also did a show during the 90s called Earth 2, which I haven't had a chance to download yet. I don't know if it's available on DVD, but probably, all things considered. But, I mean, one of the cool things I want to do with Future Imperfect kind of going forward is check out some of these older and different sci-fi shows. I know one show Ryan Merkley, a.k.a. The Uneven Flow, has recommended to me for like a year now. It was a show on sci-fi called The Expanse, which is supposed to be the best sci-fi show currently airing. So I'm very interested in just checking out what's new in the realms of science fiction. Since I've kind of caught up on Game of Thrones, what's the next thing to consume my life? So I guess I'm looking to get off of Westeros and to maybe board a starship. And now currently I'm in the Stargate universe. Where am I going to go next? So if you listeners have any ideas for me, Mike@thisweekingeek.net, give me some ideas. I really do want to check out some older shows. I'll check them out from different countries too. And before anybody suggests it, yes, I'm in the Doctor Who, but I haven't caught up on the latest Doctor. I'm about a season and a half behind. So I need to get around to fixing that, because Doctor Who seasons are nice and short. So that's like a weekend if I'm really bored. I don't know, Steve, we should probably begin to wrap things up. Anything we want to ask our listeners or things we want to talk about next time?
Well, like, maybe what are some sci-fi shows that we should check out, or some games for that matter? Because, like, I know we didn't get to touch on it this time, but even Mass Effect is kind of, in a sense, it kind of reminds me of this this Star Trek game, in a sense, except you get to customize more than you would in Mass Effect. And it's very world building. Like, so like there are scenarios where you can choose what you say to certain people, and certain scenarios end up differently based on what you say.
Absolutely. Yeah. So next time on Future Imperfect, yeah, let's talk some really good world building video games. So we'll talk Mass Effect. We'll talk StarCraft, even stuff like EVE Online. So guys, give us your ideas. So Mike@thisweekingeek.net or hit us up on Twitter @SCP21. That's Steve.
Yep.
Or @Birdman Dodd. I always reply. Or simply @thisweekingeek, which usually Blanchard runs that one, but it'll get to us some way, somehow. So I know we used to have a Twitter account where it was Goofy Look at Spock. I don't know if we still have that.
Future Spock.
Future Spock. Oh, Lord rest Leonard Nimoy's soul.
What's sad is I knew I made a really off-color joke.
The day he died? Please tell me you did it the day he died.
Not the day he died. I did it a while before. I did it like the year we created it. And I says, watch, I'm going to post all this crap, and then next year he's going to, and then sure enough.
You're a terrible person.
It's one of those predicting the future things, so I obviously need to shut up about it.
Future Spock predicted his own death. But yeah, guys, so thank you for joining us here on Future Imperfect. We always look forward to hearing from you. We do hope to do this show a little bit more often. Now that Steve has a more stable recording schedule, I'm getting a more stable recording schedule. We can always look forward to talking more sci-fi on this show as we await the premiere of Star Trek Discovery. Whenever the hell that'll be, we'll just have to wait and see. So I guess until next time, we have been
Steve Megatron Phillips.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd, saying live long and prosper.